Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy. Brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at www.jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. It is 20 minutes after the hour of 10 Eastern Caribbean time. It is such a pleasure being here with you for yet another episode of Health Vibes, your very own health talk show brought to you by the brand you trust the most, Jolly's Pharmacy. It is indeed a beautiful day on the outside. If you're still in Dominica on vacation, let us say to you, welcome and have the best time of your life. You are in paradise. If you are in the workplace at the moment listening to us, good morning to you. You may be at your farm ensuring that our food security is sustained. Good morning to you. And I'm not too sure about Trudy, but fish seem to be so scarce these days. Mm-hmm. You might be trying to catch some fish for us. Let us say a hearty good morning to you. I know that I'm not too sure about you, but I'm not seeing much fish. Mm-mm. Like, you know, in the past weeks, I've not seen much fish.
Yes, there are some special areas our guest is saying marigots, but we'll dig deeper into that.
Yeah, we're not seeing much, you know, on the West Coast.
Yes, yes.
You know, but I'm a lover of fish, particularly my butter fish, what we call tash.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And my red fish, I'm a lover of those types of fish. But we hope that you're doing well, those of you who are fishermen. To the NEP workers, good morning to you. I always applaud you for the wonderful work that you're doing, particularly keeping Dominica beautiful. We want to say good morning to you. To those who are at the hospital at this moment, whether you are there as a patient or whether you are there visiting the doctor, you may be listening to us at this time. We say good morning to you. If you are ill, we pray that you will have a speedy recovery. For those who may be grieving the loss of a loved one, again, we extend our heartfelt sympathies to you at this time. It is Wednesday. It is midweek. And it is, as I said, a wonderful, beautiful day here on the Nature Isle, Dominica.
Mm-hmm.
Trudy, good morning to you. Carly, decked out in your forest green. I am a lover of green. I think love green revitalizes your energy.
I know you like green. You like green. Carlton, good morning to you. Of course, good morning to all the listeners of Q95 and of Health Vibes, your favorite health talk show. Carlton, you said good morning to quite a few people. There's a special group that I want to say good morning to.
Or and retiree.
That these Dominicans know who have returned home after spending the carnival season with us.
Yes.
They are back where they normally reside, and they are sad, Carlton. I'm seeing all the pictures of their sad faces now that they are back in the cold, or they are back, you know, where it's not as lovely as it is here in the Nature Isle, and they are grudging, you know, that they could not spend some more time with us. Good morning to you guys. I see you all, you know, on social media expressing your devastation that carnival is over.
That is true. Well, the Creole Music Festival is just around the
corner. Right, can make plans to return.
Time goes so quickly. So we're expecting you here for the Creole Music Festival for Independent Season 2024. Mm-hmm. To our listeners and viewers on the Facebook page, that is a QFM Facebook page, who particularly listen and watch us live every Wednesday morning, we say good morning to you as well. Truly, this morning we are in for a very informative episode as usual. We do have a guest with us. He is our former chief medical officer. The chief medical officer of Dominica, recently retired, but not retired as a medical doctor, and so he's back in commission as a medical doctor. He will be talking to you a little about that. We have our guest today, Dr. David Johnson. Dr. Johnson, I know you served in that position for quite some time.
The hot seat.
Yes, as the chief medical officer for Dominica. And you have a background in public health. I know you also have an MBA too. And so you wear different hats. And so this morning we are in for a very informative health talk show episode. We will be asking other questions. Our listeners will call as well and ask questions. And as we always say, we bring in the brightest of the bright. And so we know that you are capable and competent to answer the varied questions that will be asked today by our listeners and even by us as the interviewers, as the host and hostess of Health Vibes. What we're going to do, we are going to take a short break and then we'll formally introduce you to our listeners. Let's take a short break. Thank you.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jolly's.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jolly's.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jolly's.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at www.jolly's.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
So we're back with you on Health Vibes this morning. And as I said, we have a very special guest with us. He is our former Chief Medical Officer of the Ministry of Health in Dominica, Dr. David Johnson. Dr. Johnson, good morning to you and welcome to Health Vibes.
Good morning to you, Mr. Lando, and to your co-host, Ms. my friend. We worked together as well, right?
Yes, we did. We did.
Great pleasure to work with some years ago. So yes, I'm Dr. David Johnson, and I'm happy the fact that you emphasize is the former chief medical officer of Dominica. So what I'll be saying on this program doesn't in any way represent the views of the Ministry of Health of Dominica. It's a position which I enjoyed. I served in that position for 17 years. I mean, there were some challenging times. You know, health, you know, is very challenging. But I'm pretty sure the baton was passed on to other capable individuals now who are taking the baton and running with it and doing the things that needed to keep the population health intact. So, yes, I am retired for October of 2022, and I'm back into private life. So what I do, I mean, I operate a family physician office right here in Rosa. And I'm also in Margaret. I do some work in Margaret as well. But one of the things I really love doing is seeing elderly persons. I mean, when I served as a DMO in Granby some many years ago, I came to love doing home visit land. I really do. I mean, it's a joy to go to see these elderlies at their home. Anytime I do a home visit, I spend at least an hour. So just speaking with them, hearing their stories, even before I start doing medical examination for them and serving them. So that's one of the things that I really do.
Yeah.
And sometimes a lot of them can't come to the office.
Yes.
It's difficult to get a transport, 2-3 persons to house them and, you know, take them from the comfort of their home. So I try to provide that service to the elderly all over Dominica. Another thing which I do as well, it's because I'm public health is also my background, public health specialist, you know. Yes, I have an MPH as well, MBA and MD, right? Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of talks, especially to churches and communities, because after retirement, one of the things I decided to do is to give back to the community give back to the community, because Dominica has been very good to me, I mean, it's for my formation. I mean, I spent all of my working life in Dominica. I could have gone. I mean, I speak 2 languages, Spanish and English. I could have packed up at any time and go to any other country, but I decided to stay to contribute to assist Dominica, my country, which I love so much. So I'm really happy to be here with you on Jolly's program. I'm excited about it. There are a couple of things I want to talk about. As I said, I'm not going to be representing the views of the Ministry of Health, and probably you'll tell your listeners exactly what are the things I'll be speaking about, or I could also
definitely.
Sure. All right.
So I should say firstly that I'm very thankful that you remained in Dominica and you made your contribution to enhance our public health sector. It is a noble one. Oftentimes we would say that, you know, we could make bigger money elsewhere. But for the sake of humanitarianism, we remain true and dear to our native land. This morning we know that Carnival is over. And like always, I should say, there is always a spike of the common cold and flu after the Carnival season. Though that the common cold season begins usually around September, October, but we see a spike shortly after the Carnival period, which may sometimes go on all the way to March. As a physician, particularly now in private practice, just give us some tips and bits about, you know, what we can do. There are many people who are on sick leave, those who would have taken a day off from work to sort of recover, and those who are battling it, even within the workforce, they might be battling it. But also to focus into on people with comorbidities, particularly the asthmatics, the smokers, people with COPD, and so forth. And so just give us an insight as a physician as to what we need to do and what we can do to protect and prevent the common cold and even subsequently the flu.
Great question. In fact, that question encapsulates all of what I wanted to speak about. Right. So yes, you're absolutely right, Mr. Lander. In fact, during the time that I serve as the chief medical officer, we always saw those spikes. We know when they're coming. As I said, again, I'm not speaking on behalf of the Ministry of Health, but when I served there, we always knew and can predict when those when we're going to get those outbreaks. You know, after Carnival, anytime you have these mass gathering, mm-hmm. persons come from overseas. So we know that, for instance, after Carnival, we expect to see a spike in terms of persons coming down with flu-like symptoms. So a lot of persons now are coming down with flu-like symptoms, and persons obviously have all of these. Well, some or most of those symptoms, like fever, this runny nose, sneezing, chills, you know, mm-hmm. muscle pain, aches all over the bodies, and cough, and a lot of coughing. So yes, these are some of the signs of the flu. But even more importantly, what I really want to get into is what you actually said in terms of the complications, mm-hmm. and persons who are at risk. So persons might have also like headache, present with headaches as well when they have the flu-like symptoms. The persons who are more at risk for developing complications, and one of the complications or some of the complications you can get from that, it's pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Okay, pneumonia is a very common complication. Persons can also get bronchitis, you know, this inflammation, mm-hmm. of your bronchus. And as you rightly said, persons who are they can get flare-up of the asthma, worsening of the asthma. Those individuals can get worsening of the asthma. You know, persons can get, especially in children, infection. Mm-hmm. And even if you have heart problems, if you are persons who have a heart problem, it can actually worsen the heart problem. So we have a set of persons who are at risk for developing complications. And I could just go through those individuals.
Definitely.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So age. One of the risk factors is age. We find that young children less than 1 year, some people say less than 5 years, at a higher risk of developing complications from the flu. And obviously our elderly, mm-hmm. our persons above, I'm not sure if I should call them elderly, 65 and above. The data show that 65 and above, you're more susceptible to developing complications. And if you are living as an elderly, let's say in a nursing home as well, mm-hmm. you're also at a high risk of developing complications. But as you said, persons with weakened immune system. So if you are suffering from cancer, you'll have a weak immune system. Mm-hmm. If you also on long-term steroid, if you have a medical condition that you're taking steroid for a long time, it can weaken your immune system and makes you more susceptible to developing those complications and probably even death, God forbid, from getting the flu. So also persons who have HIV/AIDS, person who have, let's say, organ transplants, you know, all of those individuals are at risk. But those persons who have chronic illnesses, so or asthmatic, mm-hmm. or diabetics, or persons with heart problems, all of these individuals have a higher risk of developing complications. And even persons who are pregnant as well. Mm-hmm. Persons who are pregnant, the risk is highest even for persons who are pregnant in their second and third trimester. And interestingly as well, the data shows that if you have a body mass index above 40, if you're a very obese individual, is a way to calculate the body mass index, you're at a higher risk of developing complications. What I would like to also address is what we refer to as emergency signs that you should look for.
Mm-hmm.
So normally healthy young person might fight off the common flu very easily. But in those subgroups of individuals which I just mentioned, I mean, they could develop complications, all of the complications we mentioned, is particular pneumonia, and could even die from pneumonia. Mm-hmm. In fact, all over the world, persons die from the flu.
That's true.
Data shows that, for instance, every year, the seasonal flu, you get more than 1 billion persons getting infected, and probably more than 250,000 persons actually worldwide are dying from flu. God forbid that we ever get anybody from Dominica from dying from the flu. And I think Dominicans usually we are just coming out of the COVID, and persons will address that as well, what you need to do to prevent yourself, mm-hmm. from getting it. But I was about to mention in terms of some of the emergency symptoms, signs and symptoms one need to look out for, Lando. So if you have difficulty breathing and short of breath and you have the common flu, you need to see a doctor, you need to see a healthcare provider, because something is going on wrong. If you have chest pain, you get it, you have the flu and you have chest pain, you need to seek medical attention. If you have this ongoing dizzy, you have the flu and ongoing dizziness, you know, for a little while, or if you get a fitting or seizure, as we call it, you need to see a doctor. Or your medical condition, your underlying medical condition is getting worse. You know, you have a heart problem, you have asthma, you're asthmatic, you're taking your puff and it's not getting better, and you have the flu. You need to seek medical attention, okay? Or if you even have severe weakness of your muscles. So generally, those are the what we call emergency signs that one need to look out for. If you're one of those groups that are susceptible that to get complications, but also in younger children. If you have a young child that has a flu, and you look at the nails or the lips and you see it's getting like blue, the nails getting blue, bluish color, grayish color, you need to take that child in urgently to the emergency.
Dr. Johnson, let me ask you too. People may also experience almost like a greenish mucus or blood in their mucus. Would that be considered an emergency that would warrant investigation as well?
Of course, because which means, it's greenish mucus. It means that something is going on deep, most likely deep inside of your lungs, and you need to, and most likely that would be accompanied with a lot of harsh cough. And if the doctor listens to your lungs and do an x-ray, might most likely find out that you're presenting with bronchopneumonia, inflammation, infection of the lungs. And in that case, whereas a normal flu, you won't need antibiotics, because the flu is caused by a virus. You know what I mean? There are several viruses that cause the influenza virus, even the one that we were scared before, we call the H1N1. Now that is one of the H1N1. You remember H1N1?
I remember
In 2009, they were talking H1N1 and swine flu. So those things are circulating now, you know, a lot of the influenza virus. You have the influenza A2, A, B, C, D, and all of the different subgroups. So yes, so the flu is caused by viruses. Generally, you don't need antibiotics, but then if it's, you can get what you call secondary bacterial infection, particularly in your lungs or even in your air. Okay, so you're going to need some greenish mucus or blood in your, your throat, your thorax get inflamed, and when you cough, you get. Okay, but you need to get examined. It's something that you need to seek medical attention for and get treated with. Okay,
as we understood.
I wanted to.
Okay, sure. Go Trudy. Go
ahead. Yeah, Dr. Johnson, you spoke about some of the emergency, you know, situations that you would need to seek medical attention for immediately. I wanted to ask, as it relates to, you just maybe have gotten a sign that you're coming down with the flu. You have a few symptoms, they're not severe, and you want to do something at home. You want to self-treat. What should we be looking to do? And particularly for the people who you mentioned have comorbidities, your asthmatics, your diabetics, you know, before they get to any stage where they have some of the severe symptoms that you mentioned, what should they do for themselves at the first sign possibly of the flu?
So that's a great question, you know. What should they do? If you have fever, if you have fever, you need to take things like paracetamol. Most persons, Dominicans, have paracetamol. You can get it over the counter. You can speak more to that. You need to ensure that you're properly hydrated, because if you have things like fever, particularly children, you could get dehydrated. Vitamin C is something that is very good. They're vitamin C tablets. So if you could take the fruits that have a high in vitamin C, you could drink. So a lot of fluids and making sure that you keep warm. All right. If you're asthmatic, move yourself from a cold place. But what I would not like to say is that persons are just, especially those persons Whereas it's good to self-treat at home. In fact, most Dominicans, when they get the flu, they will take some bush.
Yes, yes.
They'll take some bush tea.
That's the first thing, yes.
That's the first thing. You right. take some bush tea, some ginger, whatever, and sweat it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand? But that is okay. But if you have comorbid conditions and you notice that it's not getting better after a few days, then you need to seek medical attention. Because people can die. People do die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not so much in Dominica. We have a good public health system, you know. I mean, we have, even if we get a lot of blows, I still consider myself part of the system, you know. You don't have so many persons dying from the flu. One or two persons may die from complications of the flu, and we don't want that to happen. I mean, I would hate to know an elderly at home who got the flu, you know, wasn't in the jump up in the carnival, and, you know, families and friends go brought it home for them, and they leave them there, you know, attending. They're coughing, short of breath, and this kind of thing, this greenish mucus that is coming up. And they don't seek medical attention for them, because we don't want anybody to die from the flu in Dominica. I mean, whereas it's something that can kill you, it can kill you if you get complicated, yes.
I wanted to ask you as well, as we close on this segment on the common cold, there are people who may have said that they've been coughing for months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've taken so many cough and cold medicines and it has not dissipated the cough. It has not helped them. Sometimes we've heard people say, well, they were told that to get the house examined, it could be mold in the house.
Yeah,
It could be something in the environment around them. I just wanted to focus a little on that, because we may have people who fall in that demographic and are oftentimes wondering, why are they still coughing? What is causing them to cough? And are there medical conditions, underlying medical conditions, that can be causing cough and not necessarily that the person has the common cold or flu?
Oh, certainly. I mean, if you have a chronic lung condition, asthmatic, or you're suffering from a chronic lung condition, we call it cough pulmonalis, you know, obstructive lung disease, you can have a chronic cough for a long time. In fact, if you also have congestive heart failure, I'm suffering from congestive heart failure. The thing is, with congestive heart failure, you have, if you're decompensated, okay, it's not controlled, then you'll have accumulation of fluid, most likely in the base of your lungs. And when a doctor listens to the lungs, he could hear the what you call CREPS, the fluid at the base of the lungs. So that can cause cough for a long time. In fact, a lot of, and in elderlies as well, because you see some of the elderlies, they are not mobile, they're not moving around, they're lying on the bed for a pretty long time. They're suffering from, let's say, hypertension, and the hypertension can damage the heart and then cause congestive heart failure, and lungs and fluid begin to accumulate in the base of the lung. It can cause coughing, you know, a person who have bronchial issues, bronchitis and that sort of thing. But also you could have in fact, just recently, I have a lot of persons who had this lasting cough, and it was because after this virus infection, you develop what you call a laryngotracheal bronchitis. You know, so it's your larynx and your trachea and your bronchial gets inflamed.
This has happened to me.
Yes, it gets inflamed, and you have this persistent dry cough. Mm-hmm. Dry cough, and there's medication for it. I mean, I'm not going to be prescribing over there, but there's medication. But the most important thing is you need to get examined, and you need to get at least basic chest X-ray done, an X-ray done to see how the lungs, how your lungs are, and a blood test, to determine exactly what's the cause of your cough, and of course the history. You're right. I mean, if you're living in an environment, persons who have allergic, might be allergic. mm-hmm. have allergy to certain environmental factors, you know, pollens, etc., you know, mm-hmm. flowers and dust and thing in the mites around the, in the home, that can cause it as well. So it's not just cough. Chronic cough or cough for a long time, even in the flu season, doesn't mean that you have is the flu that you have. You asked mm-hmm. a very, very, very great question, Mr. Mm-hmm. Mando, mm-hmm. and I'm happy that you asked it.
And I'm sure, as the former chief medical officer, you would say to our listeners, adhere or repractice all of what we did during COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. In fact, yeah, that's absolutely. I mean, those things can go. And that is why I want to commend Dominique Kings, because one of the things I see, whenever there is something like this, you need the participation of the general public, you know? So, you know, the cough etiquette we always speak about, I mean, you know, don't cough in your hand and cough in your elbow. If you when you cough, make sure you wash your hands regularly, mm-hmm. and because the thing is, you know, although we haven't spoken about it, but you know, the flu normally is, you know, is transmitted through these droplets mm-hmm. when you speak or when you sneeze and etc. Okay, if you cough in your hand and you shake somebody's hand, and then that person who has the flu, the other person gets contaminated if he touches his or her eyes or nose, because mm-hmm. you know, the flu virus is there with the droplet, or some door handle or common objects, you know, that is used by an individual, a computer, a keyboard, yes, you know. So it's important that we practice those things, you know, this cough etiquette, you know. And make sure if you cough, use a tissue paper and then throw it away. And make sure you're washing your hands regularly, as we were saying, during COVID mm-hmm. for 20 minutes. Those things don't go away. And I mean, those easy things, you know, for prevention and control, you know, and use a hand-based, alcohol-based sanitizers. Some people say 60, some people say 70. I say 70% alcohol, you know, to ensure that you clean your hands as regular, avoid touching your face and your nose and your eyes and your mouth, you know, those basic things. And if you do that, and obviously, stay away from somebody who is obviously sick. I mean, even if you're my friend and I see you coughing, you're sneezing, and you know, well, I'm not going to talk about using masks in public, but you're exposing me to getting sick. Mm-hmm. You got to stay away from persons who are obviously sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, if you're the caretaker of that individual, I suppose, mm-hmm. or your child, you can't stay away from me.
But I do see people way more conscientious.
Sure.
In terms of, they will tell you, I can't hug you. Mm-hmm. I can't touch you, I have the common cold. Yeah. They will tell you, you know, they will tell you, I've seen it many times, they will tell you early o'clock, you know, I have the common cold, I can't hug you, I cannot knock you, that type of thing. And I think I thank COVID for that, in the sense that people still remember these protocols and are practicing it even now.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. And when persons come to see you and they know they have the flu, patients they come with their mask because they know that they have the flu, so they come with their mask to see you. It's not a requirement. Most doctors don't ask patients. Yes. I mean, I don't insist that a person. I use my mask if somebody comes in the office. I mean, I have my mask because generally for your own protection.
Yes.
But patients who come to see you, I mean, and they know they have the flu, they will come in with a mask, you know,
because.
Stay tuned, please.
Brand new. Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy. Brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit the line. www.jollys.dm. Jollys.dm. Jollys Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare. In healthcare. In healthcare.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare. Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
So we're back with you. Let me just give the numbers just in case that you may want to call and interact with us this morning. 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097, 616-4257. And of course, if you reside outside of Dominica, you're always welcome to interact with us as well. That number is 305-432-9624. That number again is 305-432-9624. So we're switching gears a bit. We're really sucking all the juice out of Dr. Johnson as much as we can. So we're switching gears a bit. And one of these areas, because again, he did mention that he has a very keen affinity towards geriatric care and medicine, dealing with the elderly. And one of the main medical conditions that seem to be very prevalent among the elderly is Alzheimer's. We've been seeing it. Some people have almost kind of characterized it as the evil disease, the disease that really saddens the entire family, particularly from a psychosocial perspective. They have also some way somehow characterized it as well as the evil of the very bright people. So some people are saying it would seem that people who were very, very clever and use their minds a lot in life, they always seem to be ending up with Alzheimer's. I don't know if there is any scientific evidence to that, but people are almost assuming that this particular group of people may be susceptible to Alzheimer's. Dr. Johnson, let's talk Alzheimer's. What are you seeing as a medical practitioner and someone who again came from the sort of management of healthcare in Dominica? Is it, based on maybe statistics that you maybe would have remembered, is it a major problem here in Dominica, or is it, have you seen the numbers risen over the past couple of years?
Good. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Lander. So we have switched gears very nicely to speak about Alzheimer's. So a lot of persons are speaking. I'll get back to the specific questions that you ask. during the response. So yes, Alzheimer's, you describe it as people talking about it as some sort of evil. So let's talk about Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. A couple of things I want to speak about Alzheimer's, you know, give you a little bit of that history of the Alzheimer's disease. So we'll say it's not actually a new or recent disease. Mm-hmm. We talk about what is Alzheimer's, you know, the risk factors, warning signs, you know. And probably if you like, we could talk a little bit on the caretakers, but that's where it takes its toll on family members.
Yes.
Mechanic. So Alzheimer's disease is one of the different types of dementia. Okay, but it's not a new disease. It has been around for some time. So whereas person may describe it, and a lot of people speaking about Alzheimer's as a disease, one of the diseases of the 21st century, it has been around for over 100 years now, and I'll explain that to you. And in fact, I'm backing up a little or projecting into the future, if I may. It will get worse. It will get worse. In fact, mental health problems, the burden of mental health disease is going to get worse over the next years. In fact, the WHO projected, for instance, that mental health issues are going to be probably by 2030 number one burden of disease. You know, so that we might surpass other diseases. Yeah. So let's look at Alzheimer's disease. It has been around for a long time. And let me give you a little bit of history of the Alzheimer's disease. You know, it's a disease that was coined, the name was given Alzheimer's disease way back in 1910 by a German psychiatrist they call Dr. Kipling. But he wasn't the one who discovered it. In fact, the actual person who discovered it is actually another German psychiatrist called Dr. Alzheimer. Dr. Alistair Alzheimer. And here's how he discovered it. You know, there was a female by the name of Auguste Dieter from Germany, a particular part in Germany they call it Castle Germany. And she was relatively educated, and she was working as a seamstress. And somewhere by the age of 23, she got married to another German. But by the age of 28 years, she began behaving strange. In fact, all of a sudden, she just accused her husband of cheating on her. And she began to get like delusional, you know, seeing all kind of things. She believed that persons was about to kill her. Her memory began to drop rapidly, you know. She stopped taking care of her daily chores at home, her housework, etc. Her ability to cook, you know, ladies about that always like to cook. She began having difficulty speaking, problems sleeping. In fact, sometimes she used to get up in the night and drag, put a sheet around and go outside of the house, wandering all outside of the house. So the husband decided, you know what, look, he couldn't take it anymore. He took her to the hospital. To the psychiatric hospital, and there was a young doctor on call by the name, in fact, a 27-year-old doctor, young doctor, Alois Alzheimer's, who examined her. And there was history in terms of some of the questions he asked her. You know, she couldn't remember her name. She was confusing her name with her husband's name, you know. She had poor memory. She couldn't recognize certain common objects. You know, she saw something like a pen and she didn't know what it was. You know, so it's,
wow.
Yeah. And she died actually in 2000, and, sorry, not 2000, let me say it again. She died in 1906. So the name Alzheimer's was coined in 2010, but the person died in 1906. In fact, on the 8th of April in 1906. But the doctor at the time decided he was going to examine the brain to see what was going on. And when he examined the brain, did an autopsy of the brain, and he found out that there was this, what they call this deposit of what they call amyloid plaques, because those are the hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease, this kind of plaques that are deposited in your brain around the nerve cells. And another thing they call the neurofibrillary tangle. So that's how Alzheimer's disease got its name. In fact, it has its name rooting back in Germany since in 1910, and it was discovered by Alois Alzheimer's in this female person. She was 51 at the time in 1906. Mm-hmm. So what is it really, Alzheimer's disease? It's a chronic brain disease. It's a chronic brain disease. It's the most frequent form of dementia, type of dementia, because there are other types of dementia.
Yes.
There are lots of other types of dementia. There's vascular dementia, there's dementia you could get from alcohol, there's what you call Lewy body dementia, several other types of dementia. In fact, there's even childhood dementia. So there are lots of other type of dementia. Dementia is, you know, loss of memory. And therefore, we have these specialized nerves in our brain, you know, we call the neurons. Mm-hmm. And we're not going a lot into the science, but you know, they work by electrical impulses and then secreting some chemical neurotransmitters,
yeah.
Right? Neurotransmitters. And you have these other cells, you know, that are responsible for taking all these toxic substances in the brain, what they call astrocytes and microglia. But then you have this. That's a normal person. But you have an imbalance happening and you have accumulation of these plaques in the brain. And over time, the person begin to lose memory, okay? So your brain is responsible for controlling everything that you do.
Yeah.
Okay? It's responsible for sensation, for movements, or thoughts, or memories, or feelings, any feeling, you know? And mm-hmm. when you have this disruption of all these toxic substances developing in the brain due to Alzheimer's disease, it affects your memory, particularly short-term memory. People don't remember things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't remember, and that's one of the critical things. Sometimes they might remember things in long time ago, but recent things they don't remember. They don't sometimes don't remember the name of the family members. You don't even remember where you're living or where you or where they went or where they went to when they went to school. Okay, so that is really what causes Alzheimer's. But I would also say that there's a lot of thing about Alzheimer's that is not yet known. A lot of things of Alzheimer's that is not yet known. So far, a lot of the theory or the science points to these beta amyloid plaques that accumulate in your brain and in your neurofibrillary tangles, but it is something that is still being studied and still being analyzed. Okay.
So let me ask you, Dr. Johnson, where did that name, like in Dominica, we say senile?
Oh, senile.
Yeah. Where did that, is it the same thing?
No.
Is it, because people say, because senile. We use that almost interchangeably here. Do you know somebody will say so and so senile?
Yeah.
And they would almost, it would almost kind of characterized or define or almost seem like it's they're talking about the dementia.
Yeah.
But that's or
memory
Alzheimer's.
Well,
it's not the same.
Yeah, people used to, that's a term that is hardly being used now. People used to be discarded. People say, oh, you're senile.
Yeah.
You know? You know? Yeah. So it used to be before. But it's a sort of derogatory term. Persons sometimes use it less now to mean elderly people that are losing their memory. That are losing their memory.
Loss.
Yeah. Mm. But it's not a term that is often being used now, at least not in the health and the scientific community. People refer more to dementia and the different type of dementia. But you wanted to ask.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question, sure. Dr. Johnson. A part of aging, an individual might find they're more forgetful than normal. What then is your cue to check if somebody is possibly in early stages of Alzheimer's, if it's something more complicated than just, you know, the traditional, you're getting older, so maybe your memory is not as strong as it used to be, you know, what is the cue that somebody should take to really determine whether they should get checked.
Okay. So, yeah, I was about to address that.
In okay.
fact, we'll talk about the different stages of Alzheimer's and what we refer to as the I'm going to answer that question by responding to what we refer to as the 10 warning signs.
Warnings, okay.
Warning signs, mm-hmm. okay? So, among the 10 warning signs that is listed for Alzheimer's is memory loss, okay? Memory loss that interferes with your daily routine. And so, I say, or if you go to see a doctor, I mean, and they perform what you call a mini mental status exam on you, I will repeat, let's say, three words, you know, apple, pen, mango. In a couple of minutes, I'll ask you.
What are the three words? Okay.
These persons cannot remember that. And the family members notice that, you know, certain things that they tell them, mm-hmm. they just forget. They just don't remember. Okay. So that's one of the actual warning sign. Another warning sign is difficulty performing your familiar tasks. Thing that mm-hmm. they used to be doing all the while, you know, they have difficulty forgetting that. Problems with language. You know, I show you this. This is a word. That's a pen,
a
right?
Pen. Mm-hmm.
You know it's a pen, but you just cannot vocalize it. Mm-hmm. The thing to write. Or you want a comb, and you know it's a comb, but this thing they call a language, you will begin to say to the family member, the thing to pass in my head. I mean, the sin is a comb, you should, okay? But they cannot, so you realize.
Verbalize it.
They cannot verbalize it, okay? So that is an issue. The persons are disoriented in time, okay, and place. Okay, so, right now, you know, it's Wednesday. And without watching your watch, you know it's around probably, you know it's not 12 o'clock as yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you would ask the person, you realize the person is just don't know, for instance, they're in the home, they don't know that they're in the home. Mm-hmm. They would remember, I say they're in church or somewhere mm-hmm. else. Okay? So they're disoriented in time and place. They don't know what day it is. Okay? Person have poor judgment, and that's another critical one, poor judgment. And one has to be careful with that because that's when they begin to just spend the money carelessly. And that's where you need financial management because the persons mm-hmm. are just spending the money and doing all sorts of things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they have valuable things, they're misplacing the valuable things. You know, this okay, you have your nice chain or your watch and, you know, you put it on the bedhead. But then all of the place in the joint room looking for it, and they just can't trace back to find out where that was, misplacing the other things. The other thing is moods and behavior, angry or showing signs of depression. And visual, what they call visual and spatial information. So the person will be going to church all the while, they know where they sit in the front seat. They know they have to get out of the back door. But if you leave them to go out by the home, they just cannot navigate, mm-hmm. let's say in a church or where they are in a building, to find the door. I mean, the door is right there, but you find they look confused because this kind of spatial information is just not connecting in the brain. And another thing we refer to as what you call withdrawal, social withdrawal. You know, they used to be friends and things, they just kind of withdrawing from everyone.
Pull back, okay.
Now, so like you mentioned something that is I wanted to address when you're in the introduction, in terms of persons who are in, well, we still use the brain a lot. In fact, I think, the information that I've looked at is a little bit to the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, persons who were using their brains more are less likely to get this cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease, you know? And persons who are taking part more in social events,
mm-hmm.
okay? Socialization is one of the things that protect, in quotation mark, persons from Alzheimer's disease. And persons are playing, you know, things like games, chess, mm-hmm. draft, because it helps your brain.
Puzzles.
You're right, puzzles. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you don't want to get into this cognitive decline, as you call it, to use a cognitive decline of your brain and things like that, persons who are starting and things, you know, keep your brain more active. It prevents early onset of Alzheimer's disease. Okay,
that's very important. Yeah. Very important.
Good.
I noticed, Carlton, some people had been trying to call, so we want to encourage the listeners who had been trying to call. You know, you can call again. We were listening to Dr. Johnson about Alzheimer's, but now we can have some interaction, you know, if you'd like to call back and interact with Dr. Johnson on this topic.
Definitely. Dr. Johnson, in terms of, whilst we will interrupt from any time that we get a call, but in terms of the demographics, do you see that Alzheimer's, in terms of gender, which of the two that is affecting the most, males, females, and at what age group do you normally find that you begin to see a decline in cognitive functioning of the brain?
Okay, so that's you're asking some great questions, you know. Yeah, so the evidence shows, let me start with the age in terms of, you know, the what you call risk factors, which I like to address in answering your question. So after the age of 65, the risk of developing Alzheimer's, like, it doubles after five years. After 85 years, you know, the risk reaches like one in three. So the older you get, the risk of developing Alzheimer's is greater. There is a family connection as well. So you find if you have your parent, a blood relative, a blood family, if I should put it that way, connection, a blood connection, a parent, a brother, sister with Alzheimer's, your risk for developing Alzheimer's is higher. So, okay, so you need to check that. There's also what we refer to as genetics. They found that there are a couple genes, and we're not going too much into those genes. They call them the PSEN1 and, you know, some other one they call a precursor, amyloid precursor, if you are persons who have those genes at a higher risk. Another thing is head injury. So if you had blown your head sometime in the past.
So like boxers.
High risk. And there's another thing they call another risk factor, which we refer to as the head-heart or the heart-head connection. So in fact, for persons who have diseases like heart diseases, diabetes, and stroke, they have a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. In terms of gender, I mean, I don't think the science is very clear in terms of whether female, in fact, I didn't see that female or male at a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease than the other. It could be because of probably, you might find it more, more female have been diagnosed because they're the ones
who seek
healthcare more often. But those are general what you refer to as the risk factors. But like anything else, like chronic disease, it's always a combination of a number of factors, as you would know. It's not just one thing. It's a combination of factors that predisposes one to Alzheimer's disease.
Let me ask you quickly too.
Sure.
So for example, an individual has a history of a mental disorder, right? It could be bipolar, it could be schizophrenia, it could be, you know. Does that, the history of having a mental health disorder, does it predisposes you more to Alzheimer's?
Okay, that's a good question. I have not seen the science relating that, okay? So I'm not going to tell you yes or no, but from all of the research that I've seen, I've never seen that, okay, if you have a mental disorder, if it predisposes you from having, because it's completely two different things, mm-hmm. all right? Alzheimer's disease and whatever different type of mental disorder that you might have. So I've not seen in any of the research that I've done that is a risk factor or predispose, as you mentioned, predisposes. Mm-hmm. Okay. But as I said, there's a lot that is still not known in Alzheimer's mm-hmm. disease. So I don't profess to know everything that, mm-hmm. that there is to know about Alzheimer's disease, because it's something that's still being studied by neuroscientists and mm-hmm. neuropsychiatrists in terms of the underlying cause of Alzheimer's disease, and that is why there is no cure. Mm-hmm. There is no cure, because had the scientists known what exactly the exact thing that causing it, they would be able to say, look, we'll give you a treatment for that. There are new medications if you want to talk about that. I don't know if you,
I had two questions, sure. Dr. Johnson. One was, as it relates to lifestyle choices, uh-huh. A lot of people talk about things like the impact of nutrition, the impact of, you know, use of maybe drugs, the exercise, these sort of things, lifestyle choices. Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence showing any connection to Alzheimer's and, you know, lifestyle practices? Okay. And that's one. And then the second one, I think you were starting to lead into it in terms of treatment, you know, what is any treatment that's possible for Alzheimer's? So those are the two things I had for you.
So the life, what I would say is like yes or no, probably not directly, because mm-hmm. the lifestyle can affect some other, what you refer to as a heart-head connection.
Okay.
Because lifestyle can affect your getting heart disease, mm-hmm. diabetes and stroke, and those are themselves, or high blood pressure, you know, high cholesterol. Those are the things that are some of the factors that predisposes one
to get Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just a direct cause effect. Okay. So we're not saying that if you have high heart problem, heart disease, diabetes and stroke, okay, or high cholesterol, that you are going to get Alzheimer's disease,
mm-hmm.
but the evidence has shown that there's a higher risk, there's a greater connection. So in that sense, I would say yes, the lifestyle, that's as long as it's related to you getting those sort of underlying medical condition that predispose.
Okay.
The other question you ask is in terms of treatment.
Yes.
As I said,
you said no cure, but
okay,
what?
No cure.
Yes.
So what doctors would do is treat symptomatically.
That's it.
Symptomatically. Symptomatically in terms of the person is aggressive or the person mm-hmm. is depressed, use medications to calm them down. But very importantly, I mean, you know, the nutrition lifestyle is very important. It's very important in the management of these individuals. The other thing I want to say quickly in talking about connection is it's in, if persons are manifesting, elderly individual at home are manifesting some signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, it's important to get checked. Because why? In fact, some of the evidence has pointed that elderly who have certain infectious conditions like urinary tract infection, they can start behaving as if they had Alzheimer's disease. And yes, and when once you treat that urinary tract infection, the individual changes. So it's basically mm-hmm. it's not that the person had Alzheimer's disease, but the urinary tract infection was affecting the person's brain, if you want to put it mentally, so to speak. So there is a connection which I have found, and which the evidence has shown, that a lot of times you have to look for other underlying medical condition with someone who apparently is behaving as if they have Alzheimer's disease. Okay, and one of those medical condition is urinary tract infection.
Wow.
Okay,
would menopause be another condition that could give signs of almost like, because I know with menopause there's so many, you know, complications that people experience, even depression, some women experience that severely. Would menopause in some cases mimic signs of dementia?
Yeah, it may mimic, but it's not dementia.
Yeah.
it may mimic. Yeah. Because you see, when one sees a healthcare provider, you do
the hormonal test and all that.
Right. And you do other things, what refer to as the mini, there's a test that you actually do, referred to as the mini mental status exam, to find out whether the person, whether it's dementia the person have. And obviously the other things, there's a other specific test that you might do. Since it's something that's affecting the brain, okay, you could do an MRI, okay, to see exactly. In fact, if we had a picture, you could see the brain, or you know, it shrinks in persons with Alzheimer's disease. All right, so an MRI is critical, mm-hmm. okay? The other test that is actually done as well, I mean, not routinely for management, but is what you call a spinal tap, drawing a cerebrospinal fluid and looking for those things we spoke about earlier. Remember we spoke about the amyloid plaques, mm-hmm. okay, and the microfibrillar tangles. So you could actually find those things, these toxic substances in the cerebrospinal fluid. And when you do the MRI, then the radiologist will describe it for you. And when you compare to a normal person brain, you can actually see how the brain of that individual is shrinking. Okay, so it's not just one thing. So whereas probably some men have menopause and behaving strange, you know, agitated, you know, getting hot flushes and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the other things that you look for, all right? That you look for to be able to say whether the, all right, rather than confusing it with Alzheimer's disease or any other form of dementia, because there are other forms of dementias as well. There's vascular dementia, as I mentioned. There mm-hmm. is Lewy body dementia. There is a whole set of other dementia.
Yes. Dr. Johnson, in terms of, we know that many people who suffer with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia often cannot be alone.
Oh, yes.
They have to be closely monitored, supervised. Oftentimes, the person who is doing the supervision do not have all the information about the medical condition, even if a diagnosis has been made, and can be very,
oh, yeah.
It can be very much a lot for them.
Stressful.
You can get impatient, you could lose your cool at times, you yourself can get depressed or hyper. So give us some tips, at least. The person who is taking care of someone who is suffering right now with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, mm-hmm. What advice would you give to the caregiver?
Oh, good. You know, the way you ask the questions, you're a powerful question asker. I mean, you know, that's something I wanted to address, because actually, the real stress and the burden really for Alzheimer's is with the caretakers, you know. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that, and we, there's something called caretaker burnout. So let us address some of the tips that you spoke about. Because taking care of an Alzheimer's person is very tedious, very difficult. You have to have love, you have to have patience. So the first thing in terms of, you have to show a person's love and keep the person very active. So do exercise with the individual, you know, walk outside, don't just keep them in the house. Play games with them, what they can do, okay? If they like to dance when they're young, you know, play like a music that they like in the house and hold them and dance with them, you know? But if it's appropriate, you know, depending, you know, you touch a person's head, you know, brush a person's head, make the person feel nice. You know, speak to the person in a very slow, because the person with Alzheimer's have difficulty understanding complicated questions, you know, so speak, you know, very
lay language
slowly to them and try to generate a yes or no answer from that individual. And the other thing is, one of the critical things, in fact, I gave that talk recently in a church, and I was saying, one of the things that you don't do is speak down to the individual. They're not your child, so don't speak down to them. Don't speak to them as if they're your children. You have to keep that individual safe, okay, from injuring his or herself, because these individuals could go wandering outside of the house or probably go in and light the fire, that's the stove, leaving the stove there with something. So you have to be very mindful of that, okay? So as I said, you have to The other thing that is critical as well is the nutrition. So because the person is, they will have, after a while, we didn't get into it, probably we could do another thing, because in terms of the different stages. But after a while, these individuals have problems, in fact, swallowing. Mm-hmm. You know, give them food that they might like and food that is easily chewable, okay? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the tips for the caretakers. I mean, give them fruits as well, give them nutritious foods, okay? The other thing that we always advise individuals, caretakers, is boost the person's self-esteem. So where is that? Don't talk down to them as a child. Don't just make them feel bad and say, oh, you have Alzheimer's. You know? You have Alzheimer's disease. You have Alzheimer's disease. Show respect. What I'm trying to say, you have to show some respect to the individual. Show some respect to the individual in terms of how you speak to the individual. Remind them of things, the good things when they were that they used to do. Okay? Do not speak to them about the bad things, you know, make them feel bad of what they're doing and things like that. Speak to them about the good things so that they boost what you call their self-esteem. So those are some of the critical tips that we usually give to persons who are caretakers. But more importantly, of the Alzheimer's persons are. I mean, you have to be feeding that individual. If you're feeding the individual person, you have to put on Pampers. But let's talk about the feeding of the individual. You know, 3 times a day, you might want to rush feed the individual. As soon as the food or whatever you're giving or the porridge start running down the person's mouth because they're not swallowing properly, might just want to take a thing and just wipe the person off in a harsh way. You have to tell the person, okay, can I wipe him off, please? You know, you understand? So, you know, show a little respect to the individual. Not just take a piece of a towel or a napkin and just, and just wrap around the person's mouth and you know. So all of these are the things, I think, I mean, they're common sense things, right? Don't they sound common sense, but it's how you actually treat the individual. But as I said, I mean, you have to be taking the person, you know, some of these individuals, they don't know when they want to go to the washroom, the bathroom. You have to be there doing almost everything for them, wiping them properly. They urinate on themselves, they pass feces on themselves, you know. You could hardly, as a caretaker, sometimes depend on the stage of of Alzheimer's disease, because sometimes it could reach so bad, okay, where the person is just, basically everything has to be done for that person with Alzheimer's disease, and you as a caretaker has to do everything day and night for that individual, all right? And it takes a toll on you, and it can lead to what we call caretaker burnout, yeah. Caretaker burnout and depression. So you, as a caretaker yourself, you have to seek medical attention. In fact, a lot of persons I know, treating Alzheimer's disease basically also treating the person, the caregiver, because it takes a real toll, a psychological, a mental, and physical toll on that individual, especially if you're doing it alone and you don't have someone to alternate with you.
Right. I think it's important to have support.
Support, yes, exactly.
Yeah, the caretaker themselves needs support,
that's
needs somebody to alternate,
that's,
you know?
Yes.
That's very important.
In fact, that's exactly it, Ms. Christian. You know, you need support because, in fact, all of the recommendations, don't think that you're superhuman as a caretaker and you can do it yourself. You need support. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you yourself are going to get burnt out.
Yeah.
You're going to get burnt out. Okay.
So we're just about out of time. Time runs so quickly
already.
When you're having fun. You know, but I do hope that, you know, usually when people are taking notes, we don't get many calls.
Oh, really?
So I suspect the previous calls we received was about the coffin, coal, and the
coffin.
Yeah. But with this now, I suspect many people would have listened and were really taking in the information that you were given. Because it's a very common condition now that we're seeing, and many people, especially the caregivers, sometimes you're left alone. All your other siblings are in another country, the pressure is on you. And sometimes that the other siblings call and say, mommy said, you're doing so and so. Or why are you not doing that? And, you know, it's so the dynamism the family dynamics and sometimes can be affected, and as well to the psychosocial health of the caregiver can also be affected. One of the things that I know that is highly recommended too is that you do not argue with the patient that is suffering with Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. And if they say, well, this shit is green and you know it's yellow, you just agree with them that this shit is green to prevent any outburst or so. So there are a lot of little things that I'm sure that Dr. Johnson, as you did say, you have that inclination and care for empathy for the elderly. For those who may want to know your office location and your contact number, you can give that as well on the air.
Okay.
And so that if somebody needs to get in touch with you, I know oftentimes they will call me and tell me the doctor that was on, they need the number.
Yes.
I will take that number as well and the location. Mm-hmm. So where your office is. And you do say that, you did say that you do a lot of house visit, particularly for the elderly. So you might be listening and you may have your grandmother or grandparents or your parents who may be bedbound, and oftentimes you want somebody to come to check them, you're looking for a medical doctor, give your number and contact.
Okay. Oh, yeah, thank you very much. It's time runs when you're having fun, right? So we operate a family physician office right in River Street next to the Shalom Preschool. The number is, you can contact us both on direct mobile and WhatsApp, is 225-3950 or 277-7410. We do office visits, we do home visits as well. So we operate from there in River Street, 71 River Street next to Shalom Preschool. And we also on a Thursday operate from the village pharmacy in Marigot. Because I'm from Marigot, so I have to serve my people from Marigot. So on the Thursdays I'm there at Marigot as well, at the village pharmacy. And these are the contact numbers you can reach us with, both with directly on our mobile and WhatsApp. And we do home visits. So anyway, in Dominica you call, we do home visits. We just schedule it. You know, it's all a pleasure. As I said, I really enjoy doing home visits. It's something I got to love when I was in Granby. My Granby Passy, working with a person they call Nora Francis. Man, I used to close the health center some days, at least once a month, you know, and just go looking for people, the elderly persons, you know, in Fab, in Fossey. You know, you talk to your nan, and you know, I really enjoyed seeing elderly at the home. Eh? Yes. You know, it's really nice to talk to you. Before you begin to examine them, they start to give you their story. Not related to the health, but give you their story. Mm-hmm. You know, just sit down and listen to them.
They want someone to talk to.
Yes. And sometimes they don't want to be. What I found is that sometimes they don't want to be disrupted and be brought to an institution or to rush with them. You know, because, you know, when elderly at the home, you know, then the comfort of the environment. Mm. You know, they know they want to drink in a certain cup. You know, they want institution. You know, I'm in an institution. Sometimes they don't like that. So some of them resist actually going to getting hospitalized, and they want you to treat them at home as long as it can. Obviously, there are some conditions where you can treat them at home and they have to be referred for admission. But a lot of the elders want treatment at their own homes.
Yes. Thank you. Dr. Johnson, it was a pleasure being here with you today as our guest. I believe it was a very informative and educational show. As always, you are always welcome to visit us a subsequent time. Trudy, It was a pleasure again sitting with you
on
Health Vibes.
And Dr. Johnson, I want to echo Carlton's, you know, sentiments. It was a pleasure having you on. You know, we worked together in the past. It was good having you now in this capacity.
Oh, sure.
Sharing this advice. And I'm sure the listeners appreciate it. I see we have quite a few people on Facebook who have been appreciative of the information.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, as always, we always end by, again, admonishing you and encouraging you that your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Have a good morning, everybody. Have a good rest of the week and continue to take care of yourself. See you next Wednesday on yet another episode of Health Vibes. Bye-bye.
Who say health cannot have vibes?
Great.
Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes. Every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes. Education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday. So be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.